Welcome back to episode 6 of Keeping Up with the Constitution, a podcast hosted by the committee members of the University of Malaya Consti team, bringing you a simple dissection of the Malaysian Constitution. I am Azri, your host for today, and today's topic is YDPA, the symbol of our nation. So, the first question that you might ask is, who is the YDPA? The Yang di-Pertuan Agong, or in short, the YDPA, has a lot of titles, but most fundamentally, he is the supreme head of the federation. What does that mean then? Well, it means he takes precedence and he is not liable to any proceedings in any court, except in the special court, established under Part 15 of the Federal Constitution, which I shall refer to as the Constitution. On top of that, he is also the head of the religion of Islam for the states with no rulers, for the federal territories, and also in his own state. Now, how did the YDPA come to office? The YDPA is elected by the Conference of Rulers, which I shall refer to as the Conference, according to rules contained in the third schedule of the Constitution. Every ruler is qualified to be elected as YDPA unless he is a minor or he has notified the keeper of the ruler's seal that he does not want to be elected. The election process will only include the 9 Malay rulers. The process begins when the conference distributes the ballot paper with only one candidate. The rulers are requested to indicate whether the candidate is suitable or not to be the YDPA. The nominee must obtain a majority of 5 votes before he is offered the office of the YDPA, and only after accepting the offer shall the election process end. So, how long is the tenure of the YDPA? The YDPA, once elected by the conference, will hold office for 5 years. However, the YDPA may at any time resign by writing address to the conference or be removed by the conference. The YDPA may only be removed if at least 5 members of the conference have voted in favor of it. When the federal throne is now vacant, the deputy YDPA will step in temporarily. The deputy YDPA shall exercise the functions and have the privileges of the YDPA. Currently, there has not been any case on the removal of the YDPA in our country. There is, however, a case of resignation of the YDPA a few years back. On the 6th of January 2019, the 15th YDPA, Sultan Muhammad V, resigned his office. Consequently, the functions of the YDPA were vested in Sultan Nazrin Shah, the Sultan of Perak, as the deputy YDPA. As we have now known about the YDPA in general, let's move on to the functions of the YDPA. The functions or role of the YDPA involves all 3 branches of government. The first branch of government is the executive. The Constitution under Article 39 vested the YDPA with the executive authority of the Federation. This authority is exercised by the YDPA independently or with advice. Among the primary executive functions of the YDPA is appointing the Prime Minister, Cabinet Ministers and Deputy Minister to advise him in exercising his duty as the sovereign. The second branch of government is the legislative. The YDPA is one of the 3 organs of parliament, the other being the Dewan Rakyat and Dewan Negara. The YDPA has the power to summon parliament to convene and must not allow a 6-month gap between the previous meeting and the following meeting. Following that, the YDPA also has the power to prorogue or dissolve parliament. The third branch of government is the judiciary. Superior Court judges and justices, including the Chief Justice, the President of the Court of Appeal, and the Chief Judges of the High Courts, are appointed by the YDPA acting on the advice of the Prime Minister and after consultation with the conference. Prior to that, the Prime Minister, before advising the YDPA, must consult the Chief Justice regarding the said appointments as required under Article 122B of the Constitution. Moving on to the next part of our discussion, being the Supreme Head of the Federation has its own perks. According to Article 40, Clause 2 of the Constitution, the YDPA is independent and free to act on his own authority on three of these matters. Firstly, the appointment of a Prime Minister. The YDPA holds the power to appoint a Prime Minister who he believes commands the confidence of the majority of the Dewan Rakyat. Secondly, the YDPA has the power to withhold the consent to a request for the dissolution of Parliament. Thirdly, the YDPA can call for a requisition of a meeting of the conference concerned solely with the privileges, position, honours and dignities of their Royal Highnesses the rulers, and any action at such a meeting. However, we must remember that the YDPA is a constitutional head of state. This means that he cannot act freely in certain other matters. The key provision can be seen in Article 40, Clause 1 of the Constitution. It provides that the YDPA shall act based on the advice of the Cabinet or a minister in exercising his duty. It is also supported by Article 40, Clause 1A of the Constitution, which basically states where the YDPA is to act on advice, the YDPA shall accept and act on such advice. Therefore, any constitutional provisions concerning the power of the YDPA must be read in light of the YDPA general duty to act on advice. The non-discretionary powers of the YDPA can be divided into three categories. Firstly, functions exercisable on the advice of the Cabinet. Sometimes, certain constitutional provisions on the surface seem to give the YDPA very wide powers. For example, Article 150, Clause 1 of the Constitution states that if the YDPA is satisfied that a grave emergency exists, he may issue a proclamation of emergency. In regards to this provision, the Privy Council case of Teh Cheng Po against public prosecutor in 1970 has decided that the YDPA has to follow the advice of the Prime Minister to declare the emergency if advised to do so. Secondly, functions exercisable on the advice of the Cabinet after consultation with other bodies. Article 114 of the Constitution gives the power to appoint members of the Election Commission to the YDPA, such as the Chairman, Deputy Chairman and 5 other members. These appointments are made after the YDPA has been consulted by the conference. A notable example is that in 2019, the YDPA consented to the appointment of Professor Dr. Azmi Shaarob as Deputy Chairman of the Election Commission. Thirdly, functions exercisable on the advice of constitutional bodies other than the Cabinet. In some cases, there are other bodies that advise the YDPA on certain matters as the Prime Minister is not a member of that body. A case of such is in relation to granting of pardon. The YDPA acts on advice of the Pardons Board. For example, in August 2020, the YDPA granted an early pardon to 13 convicts who were serving life sentences in conjunction with the Independence Day. Well, it looks like we have covered all the basic knowledge about the YDPA. I hope the audiences will have our insights in their minds whenever they read a topic about the YDPA. Thank you for inviting me and have a nice day, everyone.